the gathering of dhikr, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at this time, for which He has given us the tawfiq, the opportunity for us to gather, the fada'il, the virtues of this gathering of dhikr, are in the Qur'anic verses, in the ahadith, and in the light of the Qur'an and the hadith, this majlis, this gathering of dhikr, we learn that Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, His mercies, His fadl, His blessings, His karam, His grace is not just here, rather it is dropping and raining down. You know, just like the droplets of rain that fall from the sky, in the majlis of dhikr, the gathering of dhikr, Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, mercy rains down, drops down, and nobody leaves this gathering without any benefit. Nobody leaves this gathering without benefit. It's a great gathering. Anybody, any individual, whoever it is, whatever condition he is in, whichever method he has adopted to get here, or whatever intention he has for being here, there is no question. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that whoever attends this gathering, the majlis, whilst people, and people are doing dhikr and remembering me, Allah Ta'ala says, then nobody from that gathering will leave empty-handed. So what a great opportunity that in this dunya of neglect, this busy life, and in this very busy country, that in, you could say, the head of material gain, etc., we are all drowned in that gain, in that cause of dunya. And Allah Ta'ala has given us all individuals the great opportunity to be in the gathering of His remembrance. Can we be grateful to Allah? We cannot. And those who appreciate, they know what they're for. You know, like the people, the jewelers, who understand the price of the jewels, the pearls, the stones. And we, without any recognition and awareness, appreciation, we've got this gathering. But my brothers, you're coming, congratulations. And being here, congratulations. Congratulations, Mubarak. Allah Ta'ala has sent you here. And inshallah, alhamdulillah, we will fill our laps with the jewels and the treasures that leave from here. Because Allah Ta'ala knows, maybe one gathering will be enough to give us what we need. May it not be that we're in a bad condition on the Day of Judgment and all we can see around us is the darkness of our sins. And Allah Ta'ala's adl is established, and Allah Ta'ala is meeting out His justice, He's distributing His justice, and we are hopeful, based on Allah Ta'ala's promise about the gathering of His dhikr, that even a person who attends the gathering of Allah Ta'ala's remembrance can earn salvation and forgiveness in that one gathering. I remember an event that I'd like to discuss and mention upon Allah Ta'ala's about Allah Ta'ala's favor, His ihsan. There were two friends, and one started to do dhikr regularly. He had the desire and the pleasure in doing dhikr, and he sat down with the dhakirin and he got the habit himself to do dhikr, and he realized that there's a big reward for dhikr. There's a big reward for dhikr. Even if there's a sinner, he should still do dhikr. Whatever condition you're in, do dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, you do my dhikr and I will accept it, alhamdulillah. This is the ibadah of dhikr. There's no prevention, no restriction. It's accepted upon accepted. So he was working in his, for example, shop, in his business premises, and he was busy in dhikr of Allah, and he was working and doing dhikr of Allah. And people do this. There are some people who do this, who get the taste of dhikr. They keep the tasbih in their pocket. They're at the shop, they're in the business, they're driving the taxi. You see a taxi driver, he'll in his pocket or on the side shelf, there'll be a tasbih, or a shopkeeper. You'll see such people in this country. You'll find people, when they're a bit busy, they start tapping the beads and doing the tasbih. Subhanallah. This is not the favor and great generosity and mercy of Allah. This is not the karma of Allah. Otherwise we'd say, oh, put this CD on, I like this song. Or, you know, this is a hit single, or this album. And we start listening. But one individual, Allah has given such a great tawfiq, that in this world of ghaflat and negligence and abandonment of deen, he's at the workplace. And we're at work at the business premises, sometimes here, sometimes he's picking up customers, going into a pub to pick up customers. But when he gets the opportunity, tuk tuk, Allah, 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 Allah. So, subhanAllah, I say that so fortunate are those individuals. What great love they have for Allah, subhanAllah. And this is Allah's karam. This is Allah's mercy. We don't understand that how great is the mercy of Allah. Because Allah Ta'ala prefers the dhikr like this. Allah Ta'ala prefers this. That we sit down somebody, for example, is forced to come, he is driven to come in, we even sit down here, and this is the style of dhikr. But at such a time, dhikr, at such a time to do dhikr of Allah, subhanAllah, is Allah Ta'ala's mercy. For example, a person sitting at work, running his business, thousands of thoughts come, and business transactions and discussions and points and issues and phone here and phone there. But subhanAllah, at that time, what does that individual do? He remembers Allah while he's sitting. And Naqshbandi, this is the miracle of our silsila, that for example, wherever there is freedom, you tap the beads and then the heart starts to speak and his heart starts to beat. Hazrat Fadl Ali Qureshi rahmatullah alayh, subhanAllah, he taught this tasbih dhikr from Hazrat, from Fazali. Hazrat Fadl Ali Qureshi rahmatullah used to tap the beads, and mashallah, as the silsila progresses through the decades and through the centuries, Allah Ta'ala instills the learning and the direction to accommodate the day and age that we're living in. So Allah Ta'ala says that that's how the deen benefits the people. So the mashayikh of their time, the sheikh of his time, he will accommodate the needs of the people. Like what I'm doing here, the dhikr here, obviously I'm teaching the dhikr, and in Pakistan the dhikr will be done a little bit different. But Allah Ta'ala says here the people, their demand is like this, their requirement is like this, but the objective is dhikr. Oh, why don't you do dhikr loudly? Sometimes people say, you know, that dhikr I liked it. But the point is that a person has a style and a method that he follows. Allah Ta'ala says, call to me. Call unto me, bring people so that their focus comes towards me. That's the biggest da'wah. That a person who is negligent, who is not connected to Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, connect him to me. Connect him. And when do you get that person? The greatest time, the biggest time, la tulhikhum, Allah Ta'ala says that the Quranic verse directs us that beware that the time of work or business transactions or dunya, don't forget me. So at work, business, Allah, 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 Allah. That taxi, the driver, he should be able to drive his taxi without the petrol, without the fuel, because he's got the energy of the dhikr of Allah. He's got aman, peace, sakina, due to Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Anyway, so tasbih, to tap the tasbih, to do the dhikr of Allah, this is a great, great ibadat, a great remembrance of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. As a Fadl Ali Qureshi, he started to use the tasbih. And at that time they thought, well, this is something unique and new. But the mahal, the environment had been made for tasbih. And mashallah, the mashayikh would come as a Sirajuddin rahmatullah alayh. And nobody used to do tasbih. But as a Fadl Ali Qureshi got the tasbih, the beads. And when he did tasbih, people were saying, what are you doing? He said that I am reviving the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the people. So the dhikr of Allah is a great gathering. So there's tasbih, and definitely utilize the tasbih and tap the beads. Maraqbah is on one side, but before maraqbah, do the tasbih and definitely use the tasbih. The beads, the rosary bead, you should have in your pocket. I give it free, don't I? Otherwise, get the money for it next time. Subhanallah, it's so difficult to make it from Pakistan, such thick and strong beads. And you get this from a shop? That's it. So that you can get a habit that how do you do this be? Or some people say, we can't use it, we can't tap it. When it starts, then you can't stop it. Alhamdulillah, the person starts using it so much. The people who are lazy with the tasbih, they are in a loss. Remember, the person who follows the tariqah of the sheikh, the method of the sheikh, he is successful. And the person who puts his leg in, he's lost. No, I enjoy doing this, I do it this way. We say, okay, fine. We don't debate with those people. This was the style of Hazrat Sahib. That if I'm telling you something to do this, take this tasbih and do this many tasbihs, this many beads. And if you ask them a few times, I can't do tasbih, can I do it like this without the tasbih? What's the answer? Fine, do it. No one debates. Oh, can I leave it this way and do it this way? Okay, do it that way if you want. So never ask or never question and challenge. I'm telling you the point of tasawwuf on the asbaq, the teacher who's giving you the direction, the prescription, never ask. Whatever the teacher says, accept it and do it. And this, if I say this person sitting here, that don't take tasbih. And if I say to this person, do tasbih, and you're watching, but can I not do tasbih? You said to him, he can do tasbih. That's where you lose out. He hasn't been told, but he's been told. Everyone is unique, different. Here, the student should come, whoever he is. Your eyes, nose, ears sealed, and just consider whatever I get here, the learning will be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people are successful. Those are the people who are successful. Never will they ask a question, and why, and how, and why, and how many this time, that no. The sheikh says it, that's it. 1,000, 1,000. Oh, can I do 2,000? Okay, you do 2,000. Okay, if 1,000 I've prescribed to you is enough, but if you want to do 2,000, you do 2,000. Hazrat Sahib used to do this, and this is our style. Never, no, don't do this, or start debating, or replying back, no. Oh, I can't pray tahajjud. And the teacher saying, pray this salah and pray this salah. Or don't pray this salah. But if I do this action, or if I start reciting Quran, then fine, do it. It's up to you. That's it. End of story. So every man from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's given the direction, the coaching through the qalb of the shaykh that do it like this. For example, this majlis is bi-idhnillah. Whatever I'm saying, I'm not speaking from my own accord, my own desires. These words weren't in my mind. I hadn't thought before I'd come. And nor am I capable that I can present hadith, etc. So where's this coming from? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is sitting here, what the people need, and how they will benefit in the gathering. Allah Ta'ala knows. So Allah Ta'ala knows His beloved guests who have come to do dhikr. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm going to give them breakfast or lunch or give them some chapati or give them water or food of the Jannah. So in the sheikh, the teacher sitting there, he's not thinking, oh, this verse of the Quran or this person's come, let me speak like this. Whatever person Allah Ta'ala invites to his gathering, then the sheikh will speak according to the need of the gathering, the people. He thinks something beforehand, the teacher, but he speaks something else. This is the reality. This is the gathering of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. No, it doesn't belong to us. So Allah Ta'ala gives the inspiration of what to speak. And so this gathering is full of barakah. Nobody leaves this gathering empty-handed. Allah's put lots of rewards in this gathering. There's one special reward, specific. That what person is there who doesn't have a problem or an issue in life or some distress or a difficulty? Somebody stuck here or somebody stuck there. So there are many people who have issues all over. And when we used to come to Hazrat Sahib, Hazrat Sheikh, Rahmatullah, and we say, this issue, we've got this issue. Somebody, for example, Hazrat Sayyid, you'd say, you've told me so many issues you've got. Why don't you come to dhikr in the evening? This was a hint, a guidance, that this gathering of dhikr, in the beginning, the solution is that the first thing that Allah Ta'ala does is that Allah accepts the dua of the person who attends the dhikr. This is the first thing that happens. Rahmah, fadl, the mercy of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, the first thing I do when people sit to remember me, the first thing that is done for that person, Allah Ta'ala says that his dua is accepted. Allah Ta'ala says, you come to me to remember me. So that beggar who comes to me, Allah says, first and foremost, I'll fill his treasure chest. Let me fill his pockets. And then we can speak with him afterwards or discuss with him afterwards what he needs. So the first rule Allah Ta'ala gives to the individual is whatever issues, problems and worries, all the halat and the conditions, people are ill or they have other issues. Allah Ta'ala says, I solve the problems of the dhakir who's come to my gathering. Then Allah Ta'ala continues after. There's another point here, beautiful. Is that the acceptance of the dua is a great thing. And who is not in need today? Who is not in need? Tell me. We are all in need. We will require Allah Ta'ala's grace and His virtues and His mercy. Even the king of this world, whoever is the king, the biggest king, he needs Allah Ta'ala's, he's dependent on Allah. The healthy person is dependent on Allah. There's no individual in this world who is not dependent on Allah. Is there anyone? Show me. Is there anyone who can say that I'm independent? I don't need any help, assistance from Allah. Even the most strongest person with power, it's for him, for that person, even he is he's dependent on Allah. If he says, I don't need Allah, then the situation, it transforms to the point that that person starts to call out to Allah, plead to Allah. Allah, wahid Allah, qul huwallahu ahad, Allahus samad. Allah Ta'ala is independent. Everyone else is dependent. We are always beggars. We are always beggars. We always need from Allah. And first and foremost, says Allah, says the first in my name, then I'll give you khairat and I'll give you the glad tidings and the good resources. Allah Ta'ala is the Lord, the universe, or Lord of the universe. Allah says that there's something in your heart, maybe hasn't even come to the fore, and you don't even know about it. It's hidden from the depths of your heart. Even that I will give to you. Allah Ta'ala says it's hidden in the layers of your heart. You don't need this thing now. After 5 years, you need this. Allah says, you've come to my gathering today, I'll give that to you today. That which you did not even know about. Aha. So that event I forgot that I was saying to you due to the barakah blessings of this gathering. But obviously other points came in between. They came to my mind. So I remember now, the one of the friends became a dhakir. And the other one was in the dunya. And there were two friends. One was in his shop. And subhanAllah, the point went from in, it went from the other way. So one friend who was a dhakir, he was sitting with his tasbih doing dhikr of Allah. And the other friend passed and said, Assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? Give me some tea. He said, no problem. Sit down, tea, no problem. Water. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing dhikr of Allah. He said, is this the place to do dhikr of Allah? What are you talking about? That you should be paying attention to your business. Then you'll cry, my business is not running and there's no profit. Do dhikr in the masjid, then the majlis in the evening, go and do dhikr there, isn't it? People say this. Isn't it? That you, have you come here to drive taxi or have you come here to do dhikr? You're not paying attention to the customers. People think that this will give loss. But what do they know, that how much benefit this is giving? How much benefit? SubhanAllah. They don't know. They don't realize that dhikr of Allah doesn't just give Jannah, it gives dunya as well, gives the world, the success in the world. And he said, no, my friend, this is not the case, you don't know. But do dhikr for a little while, me, and you'll see it's a very good thing. He said, no, 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 how do you do this? He said, nothing, just close your eyes and say, Allah, Allah, and you do Allah, Allah, and I will also do Allah, Allah. And both will start to do dhikr. So he started doing Allah, Allah, and he started doing Allah, 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 10, 15 minutes. They both did dhikr and he did dua and departed. He left, he went in his car, he went a bit further away, he had an accident and he passed away. This is the life of the human being. So the other friend was sitting at the shop. He didn't know better. And the phone came that this person, he's had an accident, your friend, he's passed away. He said, my friend, he just left here just now. He was with me, it was not even 10 minutes. He's passed away. And the man cannot believe that such news. 10 minutes, he's looking at his watch. It was just 10 minutes, he was with me, he just left the gathering. He was sitting with me. What's happened here? He was so upset and distressed. He was fine, healthy. But these things happen, brothers. So, the friend, he felt sad and he felt the loss. And in this distress that when somebody likes somebody and loves somebody, when you love somebody so much, then Allah Ta'ala shows that other person in the dream. In the dream. So, he felt so sad and this pain and this distress. Suddenly the death came, he went home, his friend, he would have gone maybe to see him or to see his body before the burial, etc. And he went, the friend, and he went to sleep. And while he was sleeping, he saw in the dream, his friend, that he's in a high station in paradise. He said, where are you? Where have you reached? And this is where the discussion takes place. He said, my friend, that this Jannah, paradise, he said, yeah, I'm enjoying myself in paradise. He said, all of this, how did this happen? He said, bas, alhamdulillah, Allah is so graceful. Allah is so merciful, I'm in paradise. Allah Ta'ala has given me so much. I know you. He said, I know your deeds and what you did in life. So how did you attain this rank? He said, you're the one who got me this rank. He said, I did this. He said, have you forgotten? Oh, foolish, that I was sitting with you some time ago, some moments ago, and you said to me, do dhikr of Allah. Allah loves this so much, this action, that our dhikr in the marketplace, Allah Ta'ala likes so much, that Allah forgave me right there and then. And this is the dhikr of Allah. So nobody departs the gathering empty-handed. Allah Ta'ala's fadl and fadl and fadl. And the biggest point here is dua, prayer. A person gets dua, and we need dua. We are in need of dua. Alhamdulillah, when we sit in the majlis, in the gathering, then request dua and make dua as much as you can, because Allah Ta'ala accepts. And there's another point I'd like to say, another great method, which is, this hadith is narrated in Sahih Muslim, Hazrat Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, and I present the learning of this hadith, the meaning of this hadith to you. The scholars are present, that if we want our dua to be accepted, then Allah Ta'ala has given a very easy method for this. And we should utilize this method, a lot of benefit in it. How is that? That somebody, for example, there's a habit now that people say, oh, remember me in duas, please. Dua me yad. One is fill in the blank. This is just like, there's nothing that this means. And we just say DMY. That remember us in your duas. Remember us in your duas. And sometimes there's no objective of saying this. But if, for example, you're going to dhikr, somebody's going to dhikr and you say, look, you're going to dhikr, brother, and I've got a problem, tomorrow I've got my court case, please do dua for me. Now it's your duty, not just remembering me in your duas. If you're going for dhikr, then present that person's dua sincerely. Don't forget that person. Why? Because it's not him who will succeed, it will be you who will succeed. Allah Ta'ala said that there's an angel that has been selected in this majlis, in this gathering. There's an angel that's been selected. And here, there are thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands and millions of angels that come to the majlis of dhikr. And they have different duties. Somebody has to give a report. Somebody has to go after this and decorate our palace, our mahal, with rubies and pearls and jewels. So many angels are here as witnesses, and they are preparing their reports to submit the reports, to submit them to Allah, so that they can mention us, that we remember Allah. This is not a small gathering, brother. This is a massive gathering. So one angel is specifically Allah Ta'ala selected. Specifically, special angel. And what does the angel do? His duty is one. That Allah Ta'ala says, you watch that person who is not doing dua for himself, but he's doing dua for another individual who's not even in that gathering. So we start from ourselves, Allah give me this, Allah give me this. Allah Ta'ala says that if you do dua, if you supplicate for a brother who is ghaib, who is not present here, Pakistan, Or he's missing from this gathering. And somebody said to you in the morning, I mean, people say this, don't they? Oh, please do dua for me. And this is a great thing. And you should say this to people. You should say this to people that please do dua for me. And the person who does dua for somebody else, then the duty of the angel is that that individual who he finds, that angel, who's doing dua for somebody else, Allah Ta'ala has made that duty, that tell me straight away, first and foremost, I will give the individual who made the dua, that thing that he did dua for the other person, I'll give him first, then the person will get afterwards who he did dua for. SubhanAllah, what a great, great point. Allah Ta'ala's majlis is beautiful and unique and ajeeb. Super. So for us to come here, Allah Ta'ala may accept us coming here. Congratulations to you, all of you. So be very careful and be regular in doing dua. And those who have got issues and problems and distress, do dua for them. And we should do dua for ourselves to save ourselves. We should do dua for our relatives, for our friends, for our colleagues, for associates. Even if your enemy says, do dua for me, because the enemy is making you lucky and fortunate. So you do dua for him and inshallah the dua will be accepted and you'll be fortunate. For example, somebody says to you, do dua for me, Allah gives me a son. We go and do that dua that Allah will give you a son. Allah give you a son. Somebody says, I can't get married, I can't find a partner, please do dua for me. So do dua for that person and you will get married first, possibly. So Allah has made this a system that do dua for the other party, the third party, then think about yourself. Think about the other person. This is a great point. We say DMY when we send messages. Don't think this is a small minor statement. Somebody says to me DMY, I say, remember me in your duas? If he says that to me, I said, tell me the dua you want me to do. He said, no, do dua. I said, tell me what dua you want me to do. He said, no, just do whatever you want. And I say, what? You've asked me to do dua. You can't just say like that. And I say to the friends, they say, please remember me in the dua. I say, what, Malana? What do you want me to remember? Tell me the dua so I can do that dua that you need. That after I do ibadah, I pray to Allah, supplicate to Allah. They don't know themselves what they want to ask from Allah. They don't know themselves. So this has become like a custom. There's no importance. The importance, the emphasis is decreased and eliminated. We say to somebody, do dua for me. DMY. Dua me yad. Tell me, brother, what dua do you want me to do for you? Tell me, define it to me. And he says, I've got this issue, please do dua for me. Or this obstacle, do dua for me. Do people tell us? Do they define? They just say, dua me yad. Remember me in your duas. So will we say this from today? Don't do it. Say to somebody, please do dua for me. And if he says to me, what is the dua? Define what dua you want the person to do. Then it's the responsibility that he says that I have given you the trust that I've asked you to do dua for me. So that other individual should say, what dua do you want me to do for you? And what a great point. I remember another point here now. My Hazrat, Nur al-Marqada, Rahmatullah alayh, my Shaykh, and he was a great personality and is. He was the Ghawth and the Qutb of his time, the great Shaykh of his time. Hundreds of thousands of people come, tens of thousands. And I had seen him do dua for other people. And many times the dua was readily so quickly accepted. Somebody came and said, Hazrat, do dua. Hazrat would raise his hands and wallah, the dua of that person was accepted straight away. Happened with me a few times. With me a few times. When there's the mood, then Hazrat's hand would raise and it would happen. I was sitting in Makkatul Makkarah, I asked Allah Hazrat for dua. Hazrat said, go to Multazam and do dua. Sometimes it happens if the Shaykh's not in the mood. So, subhanAllah. So Hazrat said, go to Multazam and do dua. I said, okay. And this is also the style, because this was the mood of Hazrat. I went to Multazam and dua was accepted. SubhanAllah. So this is the point we have to understand. So this is a point that we've understood today, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a silsila, the connection and the soul of the way to do dua to Allah. So if somebody says to you, makes a request that please pray for me, say fine, I will do dua for you, but tell me what you want me to ask. Allah ta'ala has made a system that when a person does dua, such a great personality, such a great personality, such a great shakhsiyat, our Shaykh, my Shaykh, Hazrat Sahib, Rahmatullah alayh, and he wrote to me in a letter that he mentioned many points. And imagine, does anybody do this? And Hazrat is writing to his student, a person who's like a box empty. I've got this issue, this problem, this predicament, etc., etc. Do dua for all of these things and pay attention to this. That what I'm telling you to do, you have to do this dua. Yes, and subhanAllah, and we'd say, oh, there's such a great Shaykh is asking me to do dua. But Hazrat said, do all of these duas, and I'm telling you to do this for this reason, that it is stated in hadith, that the person who is not present, who is missing, if you ask him to do dua, that dua is accepted. So ask somebody who is absent to do dua. That subhanAllah, can you see Kibar? So much humility and humbleness he had. With such yaqeen, Hazrat said that if I ask you to do dua for me, I'm very sure that this dua will be accepted. It was stated in hadith and I can't see any other assistance. So please do dua for me so my issues can get solved. Allahu Akbar, and that's written there and it's present, it's recorded, and this is the wali of Allah. Let's go higher. You can go higher. And Subhan, let's go to that personality, the greatest, that who has no comparison. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was present. You know this hadith, and what did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That don't forget your brother, remember me in your dua. Is this not in the hadith? Is this not in the hadith? So brothers, this is a big point. This is not about kibar or pride, or he's small, I'm greater, I'm pious. Why should I do dua for him? Why does he say that to me? I'm a mulana and he's a little mulana. Why should I say to him, I'm a mufti? He's not even a mufti. My dua should be accepted if I say to him, do dua for me, etc. So, such a great, great personality, and he is telling, like Hazrat said to me, and look how Hazrat, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So in the court of Allah, there's nothing that is not worth or doesn't have any value. Ask from Allah. And if you have that method, you have the means, grab that person, ask him, make him the wasila, and ask him to do dua for you. And specify the dua. And so this majlis is like this, that we will request and make du'as. Allah Ta'ala accepts the du'as. And today, whatever du'as we ask, and this is the gathering of du'a. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. What is it? This is du'a. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin. This is du'a. This is the du'a of the Nabis. Ya hayyu ya kayyum. This is the du'a of Rasulullah, of the Nabis, of the Prophets. Such a great gathering of du'as. And they are all ism al-adham. They're great kalamats. So, lost is this locality. If not one person sits for the dhikr of Allah, tell me. This locality, this vicinity, this neighborhood is lost, this neighborhood. What answer will we give? I'll tell you the truth, the reality. That if we go somewhere and you announce that there will be dhikr of Allah here, and everybody departs from the doors and leaves and we don't need to do dhikr, then what are they rejecting? What are they kicking into touch? Think for a moment. What are they kicking into touch? That once a week the dhikr gathering comes, there's so many fadail and virtues and mercies, and the kitabs are full of the virtues and the hadith and the Quran. And through dhikr, everything is attained. Allah Ta'ala says, through my dhikr, my remembrance, everything is attained. And nobody has the courage to sit here and stay here. What is this generation we're living in? And then we complain, Allah doesn't listen to us, He doesn't give to us. Ah, so if an amil came, now, then there'd be a line, a long line. Some magician, he'd have money in his pocket, or please make this taweez for me, your wife's gone, I'll pray for you, your children, they'll come back, they'll be yours, your problems will be solved. He's a great amil, he's done miracles, he's got jinn, they work for him, his jinns are strong, and he wipes away everyone in his face, and he, mashallah, the subhanallah, for the sake of Allah, we phone people abroad in the Indian subcontinent, for the sake of Allah, please come, we'll pay you, we'll give you money. We'll see, men and women, they'd all be gathered together, and they'd be giving money to that person. And that person, whatever he's doing, can he do it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts and gives power for every action. So if this majlis, Allah Ta'ala himself is saying, come to this gathering, I will accept. And nobody comes. And the person who's dependent, that individual, the so-called magician, and not from the hadith of the Quran, can he prove what he's doing and the whole world is running after him? If this is not the fitna for the ummah, then tell me what else is this? That if our awareness is finished, our understanding is finished, if our brain and intellect is buried and is covered in darkness, that Allah Ta'ala, He listens, He's watching us, His great court, and who we should sit with, where should we go to, who we should have friendship with, this is our standard, and this standard is gone. It's disappeared today. Subhanallah. So, if I've come for dhikr in this masjid, I've come for this masjid, I haven't come for you. Have I come for you? Have I come to meet somebody? Have we come for socialization? Socializing? So we should come to the masjid with the passion, the desire, with the intention to get reward. So, for example, we've come to this majlis and we've announced that we're going to do dhikr. One, two. There are two people here, maybe. Allah Ta'ala won't be happy. Allah will be displeased that these people are not honest. Yeah. So there's Mawlana Sahib and the Khatib Sahib, they're both sitting here. And how many people must be living here in this locality, Muslims? And only two brothers from this locality. And the masjid must be filled, or must fall up. You will have seen at Isha time many people came for Salah. Is this our connection with Allah? Is this the love we have with Allah? Think for a moment. Think. The enjoyment of love. The enjoyment of love is that somebody's coming from Derby Street closing his shop. He closes his shop, leaves his children, leaves his wife. And from far people are coming. From far and wide, leaving their factories and workplaces. They're not my relatives, they're not related to me, but this is what they've come out to enjoy, the dhikr of Allah, to taste of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr has brought them here. That taste has come onto them, they've felt it, they've tasted it. You know, like when you taste something rapidly. So this is the taste, like chaska. Allah Ta'ala says that, subhanAllah, if you don't go, then you won't be satisfied. If you say, oh, let's take a day off today, I've got some issues, I can't go for dhikr, or we'll sit down and do something else. Okay, we'll go tomorrow, we'll attend dhikr. But before the evening, you will get up and say, oh, I need to go, I can't leave it. And you'll have seen this regularly, heard about this regularly. Shall I go? Oh, no, let's sit down, I won't go. But then Allah Ta'ala makes the mood and sends the person to his gathering, to his dhikr. So he was making a different program. Oh, today I'll do this. Oh, gotta give some time to the kids, to the family, I should do this and that. And I was sat yesterday in dhikr and it was such a long bayan and taqreer and lecture, and today he's come again. But the beauty and enjoyment is that every day is a new speech, a new bayan and a new enjoyment. And then ultimately the person who's the guest initially, he becomes used to it, and then he takes the steamroll. And the wife says, Where are you going? He says, No, I'll be back soon, don't worry. And this is called the chaska, the taste. Yeah, where a person's got it on the tip of his tongue. There are many forms of enjoyment in the world. Many forms of enjoyment in the world, but the whole world is today's existence upon what? Running around after what? Enjoyment. Everybody wants enjoyment of some sort. Somebody enjoys sleeping, he's sleeping. Somebody enjoys eating, he keeps on eating. Somebody enjoys drinking, he keeps on drinking. Isn't this not the case? This is the case. So the enjoyment, so-called. So enjoyment, it takes the person away from, and somebody has enjoyment of keep on eating and taking spices and herbs. I've seen people, he says, I want total 100% spices in the food. He tells his wife. And he takes the fistful of the spices and put it in the food. Not a spoon, a fistful. And that person has the green chilies next to the food. SubhanAllah, I've seen people eating like this. Maximum spices in the food and green chilies are being chewed during it, and that's his mouth that's chewing. And what's the enjoyment of this gathering, of this majlis? And what is the end point? Because you have the upper limit for the enjoyment, and the upper limit of the enjoyment of the majlis of dhikr is that the tears come out of the eye. So when you cook a beautiful dish, as you're eating and there's spices, then the tears come out of the eyes. And this is the upper limit. And the enjoyment of this world is what? SubhanAllah, Allah has given us so much. Some people, they like the sweet dish, they eat the sweet dish and the tears will come out. And if something very nice is cooked and the tears start running from the eyes and they start to, you can say, absorb the tears of the tissue, they have a handkerchief or a tissue to wipe away the tears. So where do the tears come from? The enjoyment in eating, the beautiful taste in eating. Ah, and there's one enjoyment, one taste that is great, and then all of the enjoyments of the world, and nothing can compare with that mazah, with that enjoyment. What is that enjoyment? That enjoyment is this, that no do tears come out, nothing happens, externally nothing is visible. And the extreme upper limit is that the person, subhanAllah, he is striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the mazah, the enjoyment in giving the name, reciting the name of Allah, Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Ali. What a great sheikh, great wali of Allah in the family of the Chishtiyah, Hazrat Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Ali. Chishtiyah Khandan, Chishti series of teachers, Hazrat Bakhtiyar Kaki Rahmatullah Ali. And how did he pass away? Did he have a heart attack or cancer or stomach pain or hand pain, or did he go to hospital? Listen, with enjoyment, so much enjoyment that his life had gone. So what happened? That somebody recited a couplet, SubhanAllah, upon Allah Ta'ala's ism, is that upon Allah Ta'ala. And he kept on listening and listening and reciting, and the enjoyment increased and reached to this maqam that he passed away at that point. And he gave his life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He could not absorb the burden and the weight of Allah ta'ala's praise. What a great point. That is there any greater enjoyment than the name of Allah and the dhikr of Allah? And this is the taste of the dhikr of Allah. And we haven't had that taste. We just come to, from the house and we come here and we think it's a burden. But this is the asal, the genuine taste. That when we sit to do dhikr of Allah and recite Allah Ta'ala's name, Ismul Adham, maybe some tears come out, a few here and there. We've got to that point that the tears come out. But the true enjoyment in dhikr is that people, they assign their whole life towards the dhikr, and people lose their life while they're doing dhikr. There's no other pastime in the world due to which a person passes away, but a person can pass away due to the beautiful power of the dhikr of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala gives us the tariqah. Look how the subject's changing from pillar to post and onwards. Allah Ta'ala explains and gives guidance. Allah Ta'ala says that, do you want the enjoyment of my remembrance? Do you want the enjoyment from the reward that everybody says Allah? Allah Ta'ala says no. Not everybody. We are reciting Allah's name. But how many people are here? How many people are saying the name of Allah? So you see people committing sins, and people, you see people falling unconscious or faint, they're dancing, whirling around. And one or two people, they will have seen that, for example, if the word comes out from my mouth, Allah, and the other person starts to copy, this is sin. This is called hal. And I'm speaking about tasawwuf now. Then remember, always in tasawwuf, hal comes. A stage comes, one is qal and one is hal. With the jazb, the passion, it overrides and overwhelms the person. When you recite hasbunallah, then the jazb, the taste, the true reality of that kalam has come into that person's heart. And when he gets that taste and enjoyment, then he starts to, you can say, be lost in what he is reciting and not be focused. So for example, a person gets a hal, you see in the kitabs of history that people started to dance, etc. But this is the famous Hazrat Mulana Rumi, rahmatullah, he was asal. And today, nowadays, the dancing and the whirling. But Hazrat Mulana Rumi, rahmatullah, his was a genuine propagation and dawah, that where people have now changed that and they've changed it for their own benefit. So it doesn't mean that we start to imitate. So when somebody has hal and overwhelmed by the passion and the desire to do dhikr and the effect of the dhikr, so when that person got hal and he started to enjoy it, then the person who is doing his naql, then he is a sinner and he is in deceit, because he cannot get to that same position. He doesn't have that feeling, that emotion, but hal has come. I remember myself, we were sitting in Makkatul Mukarramah and there was an individual, and Hazrat said the name of Allah. He started to tremble and shake, and it was difficult for him. We said that if we take him out of the masjid, we'll say, what is this drama? What peer is coming? Who's here? Suddenly he went into hal. And he was overwhelmed by the name of Allah. Nobody could control him. And there's no pain in this. There's enjoyment. He's taking enjoyment from the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's getting the power of iman, the taste in the heart. When a person is taking the spices, like the example I said, that he really likes the spices and the green chilies, he's enjoying eating them. So when the person starts to get used to the name of Allah and he wants to remember Allah more, the woman or the man, or the man or the woman, both can have the situation of hal, and this is a beautiful emotion in reciting Allah's name and remembering Allah. And the person's there, and after a few seconds or moments, he comes back to his senses. So this is the name of Allah, and the enjoyment of Allah Ta'ala's name is this, and this is the maza, the enjoyment, the beautiful feeling, the satisfaction. And we'll have seen this many times. And what is the regulation here? Who gets enjoyment from the name of Allah? If we want to take the enjoyment, subhanAllah, you, me, etc., we are making effort on the name of Allah. So why don't we take the enjoyment from the name of Allah? What is missing? Why doesn't it come? I've read the verse of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has explained that if you recite the name of Allah and you want to enjoy the satisfaction, then there's a condition that for this you have to practice a'malu salihat. Allah says if you become the pious servant who is practicing good deeds, and there's a beautiful commentary on this in tasawwuf, I will explain what is amalu salihat. That if you want that you have amal salihat, don't think something else. Allah Ta'ala says that salihat, righteous deeds, and you do the deeds of the ashiqeen, of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your whole life and amal and deeds should be drowned in ishq, in the love of Allah. That our deeds, and we want to enjoy the reward of our deeds. For example, we do dhikr of Allah, ismay that, and we should, our hearts and ourselves, we should be drowned in the ishq, in the love of Allah. When we pray salah, we shouldn't be aware of what's around us. And with every level of love, we should fulfill the salah, the prayer. No, don't. Oh, I have to pray, it's a burden for me, and I think it's farad and it's difficult. No, it should be such an amal, praying salah, that Allah Ta'ala's ishq and love is raining down, that my mahbub, my beloved, is serving me, he's prostrating to me, he's worshipping me. And that person then will says, I will prostrate to Allah today, and I will bow down for Allah today, and I will pray to Allah today. And Allah Ta'ala says, this is a'malu salihat. And if a person does these deeds, alhamdulillah, then he has learnt Allah's name like a wali. Allah was sitting, and I'll explain this in Makkatul Mukarramah. And it was cold, because when it's cold climate, then it's cold, and when it's hot, then it's very hot. And it was quite cold that time, and he had the cloak wrapped around him, out of one cloak of marmal, and somebody else would come around. Normally, if we were there, say, can I wrap a blanket around you, a third and a fourth? He said, no, just say Allah once, come close to me and say Allah once. He said Allah once, Allah Akbar, and his whole body from top to bottom was sweating. Hazrat used to tell us this story. He said, that's it, I don't need anything else, I'm sat totally fine, I don't feel cold. So these feelings, to create this passion, we have to do amal salihat, we should practice good deeds, and inshallah the conclusion of dhikr will be very good and positive. So this will be a great feat, achievement, that we're standing on the day of judgment. Allah says, who are these people? And it's announced, these are the dhakreen. And Allah will say, that did you enjoy my name? No, Allah, we kept on doing your dhikr for thawab, for reward. This is what we say, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala says that even if you didn't think about thawab, even then you would have attained this. Allah Ta'ala says the main point is that you enjoyed yourself, and if you had taken the enjoyment, then today you could have enjoyed my sight. Allah Ta'ala says that I was preparing you. I gave you ijazah, permission, that prepared to meet me. in the hereafter. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala says that I have set aside a place, a portion of place for my meeting with my creation in a Jannah. Allah Ta'ala says that this is better that you do my didar, that you see your Lord. Allah Akbar, the dhakireen, they do dhikr so that they can get the visibility, the sight of Allah. So brothers, how can it be that you do a job and you finish it half complete? So we should pay attention to our amal, our deeds. And we should feel that we don't have the amal, the deeds. That our deeds should be clean and pure. And the biggest point, to attain amal salihat is what? Aha, to have halal rizq. This is the first condition. The first condition, you have to give up lots of things, my friends. First condition is halal rizq. No doubtful thing should even go into your stomach. Enter your fingers into your throat and let the haram get vomited out. This is not a small thing, is it? Now Allah, for example, somebody comes to you and gives you free of charge a Mercedes and you don't want to use it and it's stood there in the driveway and it's gathering dust and the spiders. And somebody comes around and says, whose car is this? He says, it's my next door neighbor. What has he done to this car? Look at the situation. Look at its condition. And he's got a new car, he's been given to him and there's dust here. And they say that this person, he doesn't even value and appreciate how valuable a thing he's got. And that's our hal today. That every day we say Ismi Adam and Ismi Dhat of Allah and Dhikr of Allah. But we don't do it. And the angels say, these people, they don't know what the rewards are. So what do we need to do this to prepare for this? The first point is rizqun halal. Halal is if we want to enjoy it and obtain the benefit from dhikr, first thing is that our dhikr, our earnings should be halal. Not should one morsel piece of food enter into the mouth if we've got a doubt that it's got haram attached to it. So the first thing is we have to be careful about this, and then other deeds will automatically come themselves and the noor will come. So if we don't have the correct demonstration, then we cannot come towards the path stronger. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. If we're sitting in dhikr and we don't feel that peace and satisfaction, then tell me after. If wajid doesn't come to the person, then tell me that his condition changes, his feelings change, his or her emotions change. And the whole hal, the condition of a person changes when he starts to remember Allah and do dhikr of Allah and do ismi dhat and recite Allah's name. So we have to make some effort, isn't it? Should we make effort, brothers? Yes, inshallah, we will try that our rizq is halal and we should not lie and earn. We should not do fraud and earn. You should not be wrong. Little bit, but it should be correct. Little bit, but it should be correct and we'll be successful and the person will be a dhakir. A dhakir and termed a dhakir. We should become dhakirs. Not that tomorrow we're crying and, for example, our teeth are out and all of this is, what kind of dhakir were you? That there you didn't attain nothing and here as well you will not attain nothing. And you kept on doing the tasbihs, but you weren't remembering me sincerely, properly. So we wasted the time, isn't it? Due to the stomach, we wasted the time. There was an individual, what can I tell you, who's a friend of ours, and he was a worshipper, mashallah, did a lot of ibadah, lot of worship, and I had love with him and a connection, mashallah, he had a connection with me, and he wasn't careful. And subhanAllah, every year he would sit in the itikaf in the Masjid al-Nabwi, and also with me he stayed quite a while, and he used to tell me his kashf and karamat, and mashallah, he was a wali of Allah, had a link with Allah, and many people used to give him respect, he had everything, and he passed away. And I had, you know, attachment with him and love, and I saw him in a dream, and the danger that I'd seen, I saw in the dream, that danger, and what I could feel that in the person's life, mashallah, he'll be on a high status, a great status. And I'm telling you about the lawful earnings, halal rizq. So whatever he did, whatever, whoever gave him da'wah or invitation to go and eat, he liked eating. And a person who's on a high maqam, then he should be cautious and careful. And you'll be amazed that I saw him. I said, Allah Ta'ala, I named my friend, and Allah Ta'ala showed me the physical evidence. And subhanAllah, that dream is there, visible, vivid. Allah Ta'ala, take him from this test. So I saw he was a close friend, and he was holding his stomach. And he had his stomach, it was full, and he's in Jannah, in paradise, but in a very low status maqam, in a low level. And I said his name out, and I said that, where is this person? And he said, just it was with regards to the stomach, my stomach, and I was questioned and I had a hard time. So brothers, the points that we hear in the Quran and the Hadith that we see and read, we bypass them, and these will all come. Every single event will take place. Is this a little thing? Such a minor thing. And how much we're trying and working hard in dunya, 15 juz, and we do sujood and we read Quran, isn't it? But if we're not cautious, what is the punishment? that person, he was very, very good in worship. I learned many things from him. But what did he have? Allah Ta'ala said beforehand, and Allah Ta'ala showed the example of how he attained what he had and what was the conclusion after he passed away. Due to the stomach. And he saw me and smiled and laughed. That's it, I'm going there. And subhanAllah, what can you do when a person decides to go somewhere? This is Allah Ta'ala's fadl, that a person can come out of the difficult situation. Don't always go towards the wrong and say that I can't get out of this. So we continue to do dhikr. And we still have the desire, let me eat this, take this person's wealth, take this person's money and do this and do that. This is not correct. Allah Ta'ala said that I've said something, my orders or my direction that have come from me, Allah Ta'ala says from my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that they're not going to be changed. They could never have been changed before, they will not change now, nor will they change again. Our nafs says, oh, leave it. Oh, it's okay, yaar, I don't need to do this or go here. This is nafs and desires. I'll tell you a true event. I didn't want to say this, but a true event I just told you that I saw from my eyes, and today still it's in front of my eyes, the same event. And until some days, this feeling will overwhelm me. The feeling was a friend who is close to you and you have love for that person. That how did he get to that situation? How would he have got rid of the situation, the problem in the grave? Little bit of a mistake in the world and look what will happen thereafter. What is the consequence? Allahu Akbar. That months of itikaf in Masjid Nabawi. Months. In Masjid Nabawi. So tell me, this was the kamal of his ibadat and his recitation of the Quran. And I'd seen many times in my life that he had regularity in attending the masjid. Regularity. I'm speaking about our own country. Here, you won't know this person. MashaAllah, many people who were famous used to know him. He didn't have a silsila, but what he had was that he was, mashallah, simple and humble, and he had humility. I'm speaking about some time ago, our country, some decades ago, and I saw this individual, and mashallah, he was there. And what was the mistake? That he was not cautious a little bit. Oh, no, it's okay, alhamdulillah, let's go there, we'll just do dua for this person, and we'll consume from here or there. Do we not know that this is the wealth and from interest, and you don't have that understanding and awareness? And I say with a request for forgiveness that we don't consider anything as interest as haram. I've heard from the member that bring your money that's earned from interest, the money that's earned from interest, it's okay, we can put it in a separate container. I've heard this, you will have said this. My brothers, taking interest is haram. I'm not going into the masail, or I'm not having any dispute with anybody, all of my ikram, etc. But I'm speaking about taqwa here, not fatwa. Taqwa. I'm speaking about caution. And the dhakireen, the Sufi people, we have to follow the path of taqwa, of the fear of Allah. We shouldn't touch or go near that thing that is doubtful. We shouldn't even look at the interest. We shouldn't even think about it. In other words, to take and to give. What's the benefit? What's the benefit? You've taken it. You've taken it. So take from you and give to somebody else. That's what's happening. So is this not a sin? Of course it's a sin, because you're included in that process. So where's the taqwa gone? So whatever Allah Ta'ala has given to us and said, kullun haram, then it is unlawful. So here, the reason being that in the dunya today, the words and the discussions, what happens that continue to talk, but the effort you're making, you're not a normal person that you should waste the time. Your status is high and you are saying that, okay, it's all right here, and if I do it here, it's okay as well. Or if you debate and start to argue, oh, if he did this for his business, what's wrong if I do it for my business? Okay, it may look unlawful on the outside, but there's nothing wrong with it. It's a minor. People say these things, isn't it? But we have a status. We have a responsibility. We are doing a high grade work for the deen. Why are we comparing ourselves to others that he did it like this, I should do the same? So we should compare ourselves and look higher, that the people who are higher than us, they left and I will leave as well. Yes, I'm speaking to myself. MashaAllah, you are pious brothers, alhamdulillah. So I'm addressing myself. For which reason? That we shouldn't have to cry tomorrow and complain. I shouldn't have to cry. The person that he shouldn't have to regret, oh, I did so much effort and I don't have any reward, Allah. We shouldn't have to cry or complain. So for this, Allah Ta'ala's reward, Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to recite His name. There's no greater gift or reward than this from Allah. So for this, we should be cautious in our eating, in our drinking, and meeting people. We should have amal us-salihat. We should have the differentiation between halal and haram. And people, if they use something very commonly, we should stop ourselves, because there's a difference between me and them. Isn't it? So they don't do dhikr of Allah, I do dhikr of Allah. I have the consciousness of Allah in my heart and I understand the maqams of the deen and the framework of the deen. We should think that this is not deserved of me, lying, committing fraud or backbiting or doing bad actions or not protect the eyes. So we are wasting your dhikr. I'm wasting my dhikr if I do this. That's why the taste doesn't come, the enjoyment doesn't come. Otherwise I've told you the enjoyment. What's the enjoyment of dhikr? That the person will give his whole life for doing dhikr. The whole life will go.